Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
John Clayton, Braddock Zone, joining us right now. Mark Cuban, Mount Lebo Zone at 4 o'clock. John is coming by way of Seattle right now. And remember, that was one of the original hot spots here with this coronavirus. So how are things looking there right now, John? Better, worse, about the same?
Better. And again, this is what I guess Pittsburgh and Pennsylvania is going to experience in about 2 weeks. But we're at that stage where we've now started moving down the arc. You know, the arc kind of peaked on like Thursday and Friday. And so now the tests are coming in and it's at a lower level. And they kind of figured the governor by today, you know, it should have made the turn. It actually made it a few days earlier. And in fact, the school that does the social does all the prognostications on deaths actually is the University of Washington that does it for the country and also for this area. And that's why, for example, they lowered the death toll, because remember they were saying nationwide it was going to be 82-83. Now they've come back and said 60. You know, it was supposed to be 1400 deaths here in this state. They've lowered it below 800, so that's encouraging. So it's at the stage right now where things aren't ready to reopen, but because we were the first ones to really get involved in the country, we have a better feel of this right now. And it got to the point where the governor actually gave back 400 of the 500 ventilators that they got.
Oh, wow.
Now the hospitals are not overfilled. So things are on the positive side despite the negativity.
John, I am glad to hear that you're on sort of the back half, as you say, or the back side of that curve. And I don't mean to immediately turn this to sports, but it's a sports talk show. Given your experience in Seattle, which was the first hot zone in this country, really, and how long it took for Seattle to sort of get on the right side of this, for lack of a better term, what is your reaction, knowing what you've seen and lived through now for the last several weeks, to the notion of playing the NFL schedule on time when it's supposed to start?
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to even question it right now because there's too many factors that nobody knows about. I mean, for example, you can judge baseball and the current sports more harshly because they're right in the middle of their seasons, but we've got now several months before the start of training camp and before the start of the regular season. You know, fortunately, I'm glad that they are making plans to either have a 12-game season, a 14-game season, but to even think that you can make a judgment right now when the changes each day, we don't know. We don't know how worse it's going to go because now, like for example, I mean, we've got two things to follow. One is now the first area in China that where this all started and how they reopen things today. And so not that they're back to normal, but they're more back to normal. And then you look at what happened in Japan, all of a sudden they had to start closing things down because it didn't go right. So I think, there's enough models to follow right now that there's no reason to make any kind of a judgment before, I would have to think, the middle of June.
John Clayton, our 93.7 The Fan NFL Insider here today with us. Kevin Colbert, according to the Daily News, John wanted to expand the draft to 10 rounds. What is your reaction to that story?
Well, I mean, I think it's a novel thought, but again, it's one that cannot happen because, that would have to be collectively bargained because what you're talking about is that, a rookie pool has already been established and to expand it for three rounds, that has all kind of problems that have to be negotiated. And it was hard enough to be able to get a 10-year deal out of the labor and now to be able to go back into that and now try to redo it. No, that just can't be done, particularly with the uncertainty. If there isn't an NFL season, who doesn't get paid? athlete and how that all goes. So I think it's a novel idea because you want to have more opportunities to go ahead and get the draft choices because you're going to make mistakes. And you have less of a chance to make, less if you can draft 10. But also what you're doing is that, not that it may be helping anybody, but it's like you're also taking away the ability of undrafted players to negotiate contracts. And so that doesn't happen. So, it's a novel idea. It's just one that can't be executed.
Is there any reason, John, for the NFL to be concerned about the, I can't believe I'm actually saying this, but the cybersecurity integrity kind of the NFL draft happening the way it is? Do you know of any kind of plans the league is making to ensure the sanctity of the process here?
Well, once John Harbaugh brought it up, they started to work on it then, and I think there is some concern. Now, again, it's like, okay, it's not like we're talking about hacking into the computer and putting a ransom note on there that you have to pay in Bitcoin. It's not like that. But, yeah, I think there is the chance because Zoom did have some problems, and it's kind of a new company. And so if that's going to be the ones that they're using, you have to try to make provisions to make sure it's right because, I mean, I think, you can see it on television, particularly with feeds going down right in the middle of an interview. I mean, you can see it now on live radio where, everybody's now pretty much on most radio stations working from home, and all of a sudden it will cut out and you have those type of problems. You don't know about the Wi-Fi problems in certain areas in certain homes. So, yeah, I think you have to make provisions, but that's why there should be some consideration for because, again, they're going, 15, 10, and 5. It's like particularly in the third day of the draft, some things are going to go wrong that you have to have some provision in case it does go wrong where the GM's place goes out and you have to have some way to fix things up.
John Clayton with us. John, you talk to so many people in football. You've got so many great sources. So tell us what you did with the Steelers' 49th pick in your latest mock draft.
Trying to remember what I did because I had to make a whole bunch of changes with what I ended up doing. But of course, that was a great part because it was a lot of fun. I tell you, it took a lot of time to be able to go ahead and try to put all that together because what ends up happening. Like for example, I know that I had to jump on Jacksonville taking a going ahead and taking a cornerback, and so that kind of screwed things up, and I had to go through all kind of reconfiguration.
I've got you with Michael Pittman Jr. out of USC.
Yep. That's it.
John.
Thank you, because I was just looking for it right now. So, yeah, because I'm thinking that, the Steelers are the best team in football, drafting wide receivers, and, there's still some holes at the receiving core. I know I have them taking a guard in the next pick because, again, with, losing B.J. Finney and also having to retire on Ramon Foster, that's an area. But I think in this good receiver draft, he's a good receiver.
John, if they're trying to win now, and we know that the Steelers are because Ben Roethlisberger's time is limited, all things being equal, are they helping themselves more in the immediate term with an offensive selection or a defensive selection at 49th overall?
I'm thinking right now an offensive selection because, again, it's like just getting another weapon, somebody to get more, to fill out the three receiving core, because you can see that they've ramped it up now with the two tight end set, particularly getting Eric Ebron, who Ben Roethlisberger had great reviews of. And then on defense, I mean, they made two key moves last year, and then getting Bud Dupree back, the two key moves getting Mika Fitzpatrick and then, Devin Bush, making that trade up. And so, they can now worry about, building some depth for the future. Certainly losing Hargraves is one that, they'll have to find a way to kind of fill in for him. But no, I think that at this stage, you take the better value. And I think right now the value in that particular area at 49 was probably going to be wide receiver.
John, some of these knuckleheads out there have the Steelers taking a quarterback with that 49th pick. And the guy that seems to be placed there the most is somebody that you're probably familiar with, Jacob Eason from Washington. What can you tell us about him?
Well, again, I can see the fit in the offense because he's a big, tall, strong-arm quarterback. I mean, certainly, he can fit in, particularly with the quarterback behind Ben Roethlisberger. In fact, if you notice, I ended up having him go in the second Indianapolis pick in the round, to go to the Indianapolis Colts because, again, he would work well behind Phillip Rivers, and Phillip's on a one-year deal, and basically Ben's pretty much going to be there for 2 years. But so I think if you're going to win now, you don't have the luxury of taking a quarterback to develop. And, again, it's like at some point they have to do it, but win now because they haven't been to the playoffs in a while. That has to change. I think that the advantage that they have is that there's no change in coach, there's no change in systems. I mean, you basically get Ben back and should be better, and you're in a rat race right now with Baltimore coming up and having a 12 or in a big 14-win season. So I think right now, I mean, you go for the position player and try to win as opposed to worry about the quarterback of the future.
John, they have Devin Bush inside, and I think most everyone here is pretty high on him and how he'll develop from year one to year two, but how big of a hole do you feel like they have alongside him? Vince Williams is still here, but that's it. There's really just a general thinness about their linebackers. Is that something that you believe they should be addressing at some point in this draft with maybe a player that can play to one degree or another immediately?
Yeah, I mean, I think, because again, what you're talking about is your fourth linebacker. And, because again, you got there's three real good ones right there. And, again, you don't know if Bud's going to be long-term in his team because, he's going to be here this year, but can they actually afford to keep him on a long-term deal and do T.J. Watt? That's at some point you have to, next year's priority then would get, another outside linebacker who can rush the passer. But, that's still something that you can, patch up. And it's not a bad inside linebacker draft, but it's nothing I think that they have to address high.
John, it's the story that won't go away. We're trying to, nip it in the bud here and get rid of it, but just some people won't let us do it. Bill Cowher came out and said he thinks Jameis Winston would be a great fit with the Steelers. Your reaction to the Pro Football Hall of Fame coach making those comments?
Just like I beat you up last week for bringing it up, and I just don't think it's a good idea. I think it's a bad idea for many reasons. This isn't, he's not Byron Leftwich, okay? Byron Leftwich had the personality that I thought that would be able to take a backup job and did behind Ben Roethlisberger. But one, it's from Ben's standpoint, you know how he was with Mason Rudolph. He was kind of bitter that they're thinking about, getting the long-term replacement. Now you're going to bring in a former first pick in the draft and having him, sit for 1 year and not have a chance to play. I don't buy it. Again, it's like, one, this is a guy that's still in his mind, and I'm not saying he's wrong, thinks he should get $30 million a year. Okay, so now is he going to come back? And with the cap situation, how tight it is with Pittsburgh, to sign for like $1 million or $2 million? Do you think that's going to make him happy and work hard? No. Do you think that Ben's going to like having a talented quarterback like him behind him? I'd say no. It's like maybe at some point you draft another quarterback or you just go with Mason Rudolph. Worry about winning now, but again, I think the Winston thing is a bad, bad idea.
Is Mason Rudolph a good enough backup quarterback for a team that fancies itself a real contender, John?
As long as he doesn't have to play more than three games. Because, again, I still use the Ted Marchabrota line, which was proven twice last year. If you have a good backup quarterback, and, again, the question is he good or not good, he can come off the bench and win you three games, but if you play him six, he's going to lose you three games. And, having to come in pretty much after a game and a half, you saw where it ended up. A 500 team, and that's with Duck Hodges coming back and forth, with Mason Rudolph there, and so he's good enough to get you to 500, but this team doesn't want to get to 500. It wants to win, and it's nice to get the backup to do it, but again, it all counts on Ben, and you saw it last year. They came close enough to challenge to a degree without Ben, but now they just need Ben to get them over the top and try to catch the Ravens.
John, if you were ranking quarterbacks, not their future, but what they are right now at this point in their career, Jameis Winston is a top blank quarterback in your mind.
He is a top 16, top 17 quarterback.
Okay. So average, about average starter.
No, in fact, I'd have him a little bit less, because I'd have him probably like 19 or 20.
Okay.
Again, it's like what you look at, and this is pretty well defined by what records are and things of that nature. You're going to have 11 or 12 quarterbacks that are pretty much consistent type of quarterbacks that can get you into the playoffs, and then you have what I call the Chad Penningtons, the ones that may be able to get you into the playoffs, but you can't win a playoff game. That's where you start with the Matthew Staffords and guys like that. Maybe even to a certain degree, Dak Prescott, and then you have that next group that's not winning. And he's not had a winning record, and he's had more turnovers than any quarterback since he got into the league.
You wouldn't put Baker ahead of him, would you?
Baker Mayfield? Maybe. Yeah. No, I'd put him. They're around the same area.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, Baker at least was able to get 7 wins on his first real starting chance. So yeah, they're right in the same ballpark.
Okay. John, thank you.
What's Cam Newton?
Was that Cam Newton? I mean, he would be, well, he, I mean, at one point when he was the MVP, I actually put him up 4th because the way I had it go was that I'd have either Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers 1 and 2. Then I would have Ben number 3. I would put number 4 as being the quarterback MVP, and then I would go back and forth depending on their years between Drew Brees and Russell Wilson. And so, you know, but you know, obviously, I guess Ben, you'd have to say, to a degree, has slipped a little bit. But, you know, that was kind of the way they broke them down. But in case of Cam Newton, I mean, because of the injuries, because of, I mean, he's lost 8 games in a row. He hasn't won a start in a couple, in about a year and a half or so. So I put him down, you know, in that, you know, like 13 or 14 category.
John, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Talk to you again next week.
Okay, thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.